He did what? This is too much. This is a Monday. It's Holy Monday. Come on now, somebody. It's Holy Monday. Yes, this show, this story, this conversation this morning is yet going to be another Bible-based conversation. I know that my job is to grow you personally, spiritually, and profitably, and I believe I'm doing it every day, Monday through Thursday. And you know, I feel the weight of my own process of what I'm doing here. And I kind of wanted to share before we get going on the Holy Monday. I want to talk to you about that. And I got a confession to make on the Holy Monday. And I want to actually go through the Holy Monday idea. And I want to go through the topic that I had prepared for you today on faith. I'm super excited about all that stuff, but I want to actually share something with you people, my friends, and everybody that's been part of this for so long. Last week was a really, really special week when we talked about faith, we talked about Wilson, and we spent a lot of time on this whole concept of doubting Thomas. And it's funny how each show kind of just takes on a life of its own, and then I parlay where I've left off from where what God has brought me to you spiritually, personally, and profitably, and then I grow from it there. And so this weekend I had on my mind, I didn't have on my mind that this was the buildup to Easter. I just didn't. And so that's kind of my confession I want to make with you. I don't know if any of you are sitting out there right now, you're like, oh man, what's Holy Monday? I'm like, you know, I don't know that I've heard that term a lot. I didn't hear it in church Sunday, and I don't remember ever really hearing it. So as I'm going through my devotionals this morning at the last, so I did my devotionals on the very tail end of everything, and because I had prepared a whole message, a lesson on faith. And then as I was rallying my message around what I was going to tie in for scripture today, which was Holy Monday, John 12:8, you will always have the poor, but you will not always have me, was the scripture that was given for me to tie into today's message on faith. And so as I'm preparing for all this, I do all this. The weekend's easy, so I get to actually steal from my pastor and like great topics. I got all these notes here, like from this Sunday morning, and Pastor Mark put together certain things, and he actually coincidentally was teaching out of Acts 10:34, just like we were teaching last week, which I thought was really remarkable. And so I was really I got to kind of show off my wife, because he started to read from that scripture, and I said, oh my gosh, he's preaching, you know, out of Acts. He's preaching that he's going to talk about Cornelius. And Tracy's like, oh, what do you know? Blah, blah, blah. She didn't say that. She's like, then sure enough, he said Cornelius. And I just felt like a rock star. So I was just grateful for God to have a lot of that coming up. But the idea of the synergy that, and then he started talking about the Holy Week coming up. And then I am preparing on the heels of last week, this whole idea of faith. How do we use faith in our life? How do we, because, you know, we talked about doubting Thomas and how he showed or displayed lack of belief or lack, or he was doubting. Remember we talked about he was not a non-believer, but he doubted that Jesus came back in the flesh. And the thing I want to carry into this week is this very, very, very important comment that we talked about is that doubting is our mind trying to prove what we want to believe versus unbelief just being a matter of the will. Meaning that I was speaking with a pastor friend of mine who has actually been listening to our shows, and he called to commend me on that whole series. And he said, I just never looked at it that way. And I'm like, yeah, it didn't hit me that way until I really started to preach and teach on it and share on it and dive into it. And so it was a really privilege for him to say that to me. But as the process goes on, we got into a conversation about the difference between doubt and unbelief. And he pressed down on some Hebrew and some words in the older conversion of the Bible. And we both came to the concept that, you know, we're on the same page of will versus doubting, right? So what I want to just separate here before we get into this today's teaching on Holy Monday and what that's about. And what I want to talk about this whole week is faith, is that I want to make sure, I think it's important before I go into stories and things of that nature, that the difference between the mind doubting and the difference between unbelievers is a matter of the will. So when I sit here and I'm chill with you guys and we have conversations and we want to be who we want to be, and I think it's important that you understand that the entire process of what I'm going through is to support the gospel. Even though we may talk about business at times, even though we may talk about your personal growth at times, I mean, we're supporting the gospel. And what's the gospel? Well, the gospel is this idea that the Bible has been conceived really only to share this very one and very most important point, that Christ is our deliverance to heaven. Christ is our Savior, right? And that our sins are all forgiven. No matter what type of sin you had, it can be forgiven through the blood of Christ. And that we're to be able to move through this world wired differently. We're able to move through this world as misfits, right? Because we are now rewired. We are now misfits. We are now not of this world, because we have been reprogrammed in the image of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as we come to Easter and we kind of prepare ourselves for this whole thing, the crucifixion, we need to reconcile the fact that this is what this was all about. And so when we talk about doubting Thomas, who was doubting, I want to make sure this settles and rests with you right now. Thank you for all the followers this morning. Thank you for all the comments this early on. Is that where are you at in your faith? Because we're going to be talking about faith this entire week. I got so many notes. I got so much prepared. And then I read that it's Holy Monday. And I'm like, gosh, how did I miss it, God? So I want you to really understand the power of last week's message. And we're going to boil it down into this right here one more last time. Yes, it's okay to doubt. Give me a doubter every day, all day, over an unbeliever. Quick story about doubters versus unbelievers. I have an amazing man in my company, PayServe. I'll give his name. His name's Sam. He's vice president of the company. He pretty much runs everything. He's brilliant, smarter than me. Heather, they're all smart. They're all smarter than me. No question about it. I love them all. I really do. It's a special company. But he was on the phone with me the other day, and every now and then we'll talk about God. We'll talk about business and how business lines up with what God's saying to me in these shows, or what God's saying to me in my life. And it's one of the beautiful things about owning your own company is that you pretty much make the rules. And in this country of America, it's maybe it's fleeting, but it's still available. You can talk about God. You can preach about God. You can include him into your business. Matter of fact, God can even own your business legally, I guess, in some ways. So I really believe all my companies, PayServe Systems especially, I named it Pay because that's what it does, and Serve is how Christ led the church. And so that's how I got the name PayServe. Well, anyway, Sam and I were on the phone. We had this one client that was calling consistently, and they were doubting the processes because of some of the things weren't working on a regular basis. And part of the challenge was when we set this client up that they had missed some things and we missed some things because they missed some things. And setting up all these processes are just a 4 to 6 month process to get it right. But once you set it up right, it goes great forever, it seems like, in this industry for us. But that's what separates us from the rest of the providers out there, is that we take a better angle, we're more diligent and more specific on how we set you up in our system, so you'll have a better experience for the long run. Well, the whole point of this personal side, spiritual side, and profitable side of growth is when we talk about doubting versus unbelieving, I think it's important that we establish that we understand the people that we're working with as if they are doubters or if they are unbelievers. And as I was coaching Sam through this service challenge, I had shared with him this doubting Thomas versus an unbelieving person and my theory on that doubters are people that are, in many cases, people that are trying to prove the truth of what they want to believe versus an unbeliever is a matter of will and they just don't want it to work. And after I explained all that to him, I asked him to the client, I said, this client that's complaining about our services and is frustrated with some of the things that have been going on in our setup. I said, do you think they're doubters or do you think they're unbelievers? And he said, well, why do you ask? I said, because if they're doubters, then they really want the system to work and they want to believe in us. If you feel that they're unbelievers, then they don't believe in the system and they don't want the system to work because it's a matter of their will. I said, then you really need to understand how important it is to invest the full force of our solution, the full force of our support, invest the full weight of everything that we have, because if they're doubters, then they're in. They just don't believe it's going to work because their mind isn't processing the right way because some of the outcomes were not good. And so they're creating a hard coding in their system. We have to rewire their systems because their systems are, we want this, we want this, we want this. It's not working. I'm doubting it. It's almost like, oh no, why did we do this if it's not going to work? But we need it to work. Versus the person who is complaining and like, this sucks. I hate it. It's never going to work. I didn't want it in the first place. I'm an unbeliever. One is hopeful. One is hopeless. Now, it's not often that I get to share something with someone who's like way more brilliant than me and have these kind of aha moments, but I think God has allowed me to have some of them. And I think that you need to understand that. I think you need to understand in your life what I'm talking about. It's okay to be a doubter, but it's not okay to be an unbeliever. What happened with this Jesus? He did what? This is just too much. All right. Well, this morning there's a lot going on this morning, and I just want to set up the whole week on faith. And I think that I would be remiss if I didn't share this idea that this is the whole week that rolls up before Easter, which is the most celebrated. It's like we don't have a faith. We don't have Christianity if we don't have this week in our life. Christmas is a pretty big deal. I suppose if Christ isn't born, we don't have any of this. But I guess if you are kind of an unbeliever and you're following along and you want to believe in Christ as a human being or a prophet or a person, or not a prophet, but only as a person, then really you need to understand that the Messiah came. He did miracles, created this whole story for some 30 years, and then he died on a cross, which pretty much everybody in historical, factual mindset of a reality agrees happened. But really the cut point of all this and any of this is the fact that Jesus did ultimately fulfill his commitment of the prophets in the Old Testament and even through the New Testament, from Melchizedek and John the Baptist and so forth, that he did rise from the dead. I mean, that really is the cut point. That is the cut point of Christianity from any other faith, any other works-based faith. We are the only not works-based faith, meaning you can't work your way to heaven. We are just simply wired differently. There's no escaping it that we're misfits when we embrace this gospel of accepting the story of Jesus Christ. Well, this whole week that we're going to be talking about today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, is the lead up to all that. And today is called Holy Monday. And I admitted in the first half of the show that I just didn't know that it was called Holy Monday, and I started to read. And the verse that was given to me on Holy Monday is, "You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me." And this is what Jesus said to a group of people gathered around a table at a meal they were having. Jesus had just brought Lazarus from the dead. And actually, Lazarus was the brother of Mary. And we spoke on this several, I think a month or so ago. And And they're all kind of lounging. And I remember teaching this, and I was thinking, you know, it talks about how Jesus and the rest of the guys were just laying down on a couch, like to eat. And I guess it was a custom back then that when you ate or you lounged with wine and food, you spread out. You weren't sitting up. Well, Mary brings in some amazing perfume, and she basically puts it on Jesus's feet. And she's crying, and the tears fall off of her eyes and hit Jesus's feet. And then she wipes the tears off of his feet with her hair. And it's funny because this is before the Last Supper, and Judas Iscariot says, "Man, what are you doing? Why are you putting all of that perfume, which is literally a year's of wages? Why are you putting all of that perfume on Jesus's feet?" And Jesus says, "Listen, man, pay attention here, Judas." And you know, here's the thing about Jesus. It's like so cool because he knows, I believe Jesus knows that Judas is the spoiler in this whole thing. He says, "Judas, back off, Jack. Leave Mary alone. She just lost her brother. She's grateful. She wants to worship. She wants to thank me. She wants to thank God. Let her be, because you will always have the poor." Because Judas's whole point was, listen, you could have given all that perfume, you could have sold it and given all that money to the poor. That's what Judas says. And Jesus says, "Back off, Jack. You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me here." He's basically saying, "Judas, I'm on to your game. I know what you've been doing with that money, the banker, right? I know even beyond that money, I know what you're going to do, and you're going to turn me." I mean, Jesus is on to all this. He's like, "Let her be. Enjoy me now while you have me here." And I think that, you know, I have questions on that, but I also have this understanding of the broader scope that We are to take God and enjoy God. He is our personal savior. He is ours. We are to soak him up. We are to have him about us, around us. Jesus was about the poor. Jesus was about all that. I mean, he did so much work for him. He fed the masses. He could do any of those things. And as we talk about faith, we're going to dive into the things that Jesus did for so many that he healed. But for her, she felt that she was vindicated. She felt that she was healing. She felt that she was doing what she was meant to do for the grace and the salvation and the blessing that he brought to her family by raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. And isn't it just so ironic that Judas Iscariot was the spoiler so early on in this escapade of crucifying Jesus? And yes, this was a Monday. This was a Holy Monday. So what I want to kind of set up the rest of this week in the final parts of the show today is this idea of faith through this whole journey of the week into Easter. And the week into Easter is basically this 6 days now that we're on prior to Christ rising from the dead, prior to his crucifixion, the Last Supper, and all the things that are going on. Because out of all of the things I'm sharing with you over time, out of all the things that I have to share with you, I think this is probably the most important, because it takes the most faith to believe that Christ rose from the dead. I mean, of all the things that have been put before us in our walk, in our lives, in our businesses, in our families, I mean, that's what it comes down to. If I'm going to grow you personally, spiritually, and profitably, you're nothing without faith. I mean, seriously, think about faith. You even if as an unbeliever, you demonstrate faith in the weirdest ways all the time. As an unbeliever, you can't put faith in these biblical 2,000-year-old stories that are true in fact and have been substantiated by human beings and writings. Sure, this writing's been passed on for years and years and years and years, but this is what we got. How many of you take medication every morning? I do. Do you realize that that bottle of pills that you're taking has been sorted by a human being, and if they put one wrong pill in one wrong bottle, it could kill you. I remember as a little boy, Tylenol, someone tampered with Tylenol, changed the whole world. They put cyanide or something in Tylenol bottles, and people were taking Tylenol all over America, and they were croaking off dead, and it was on the radio. I'm like, Mom, Dad, people are dying from Tylenol. Oh my gosh, people are dying from Tylenol. Somebody literally got in a Tylenol bottle in the pharmacy or whatever and was planning death pills. And, you know, ironically enough, Tylenol survived that somehow. I remember thinking, my gosh, what's that cost? They had to take all these Tylenol pills off the racks and all these grocery stores. I mean, millions. I mean, like as a kid, obviously we didn't have internet back then or anything, but I'm thinking this is massive. I mean, clear the table. And we were throwing away, people were going in their houses and throwing away all your Tylenol. They never credited us or anything like that, but we were just getting rid of Tylenol. And then Tylenol came out with the sealed bottle. The top of the bottle had some type of sticker on top of it that you couldn't open unless you poke it with your finger. Now all bottles are like that. Now you got to poke it with your finger. Well, that's why we're like that, because back in the day in the 80s or something, look it up. Somebody Google it. Tylenol. Tylenol back in the 80s, you know, people were going in the stores and putting you could pull a bottle right off the shelf in a store, open up the cap, look at the pills. You could put something in or you could take one out. I mean, come on now, somebody. That's how it was back then. How stupid that is. It's like, what were we thinking, right? But we had so much faith, unknown faith, that let's call it unknown faith in the process of people, that we were taking drugs without any consequences of understanding of what's being put in there. And to this day, we still even do it. We don't know what the machines are doing, and the seal is one thing. But back then, anybody could come in, plop in a cyanide pill into a Tylenol tablet or any bottle for that matter. None of them were sealed caps. Come on, now think about it. You don't have to be a believer of Jesus Christ to have faith. That's what I'm trying to explain to you and set this whole week up with. Any imbecile has faith. Any person who ignoramus, any person who doesn't want to be a believing person in anything or an educated person, someone just wants to get by. Everybody is born with some kind of stupid faith. Think about how stupid that was walking around in this world, grabbing pills off of a grocery store. The more I think about it, the more I'm blown away from how significantly ridiculous that was. You see, my point is that we all have faith. I took some Tylenol yesterday, opened up the packet, and I thought, oh, this has got to be safe. It's got a sealed packet. There's nothing that could go wrong with it now since the 80s. People buy cigarettes. They buy cigars. They buy anything. You go to the store and you buy, you're buying on faith. Any medications you get from the CVS or the Walgreens, you're getting it on faith. Faith is ingrained into the logic of the survival of us in this world on a regular basis. So why is it such a stretch that I ask you to have faith that Christ rised from the dead or rose from the dead? Why is it such a stretch that faith is not a bigger part in your life from a spiritual perspective than it is on the food that you buy and eat, the drugs that you buy and eat, the cars that you drive and fill up with fuel? Everything you do in life is having faith in someone other than yourself on a regular. And I've prepared on Mark chapter 5 to talk about this whole idea of faith. I've prepared to talk about a lot of great things on faith. And I'm going to take you through Mark 4 and Mark 5. I'm going to start tomorrow on faith. He did what? This is just too much. This is just too much. This whole series is going to be just too much. We got 3 days of impactful power on faith. And what are you going to do with faith in your life? How are you going to separate faith from the everything days that are going on, from the food, the cars, and the pills that you take, to the actual real faith, the most difficult faith of all, the faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior? Hope you guys have a great day. I'm eager to talk about faith the rest of this week. Bring your faith game on to the show tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. We'll be talking about the significance quickly of what Tuesday means in this Holy Week, and we're going to double down on faith. Thanks, everybody. I want you to have faith in Christ.
This has been the Wired Differently Experience. WDW.